Justin, did you have a question?
Yeah, my question was just about prognosis. You know, we talked about the clinical data, IPS scores, and how they do clinically with their response to chemo. Any sort of genomic data or technology out there to help predict, you know, if the patients will relapse?
So there was a NanoString genomic classifier that was developed by the group in Vancouver, which was published, I think it was the New England, within the past few years. Unfortunately, the classifier couldn't be validated in additional data sets. And so that's one that sadly we don't really have another genomic platform as of yet that looks promising. Same group did a relapse classifier as well that appears to be prognostic, which was validated in a couple of smaller data sets in the same paper published in JCO last year or earlier this year. And we'll hopefully see if that one plays out a little bit more in terms of being a validated tool more broadly in the relapse setting. But that's still an area that more work needs to be done.
Have patients been looked at who had these unusually downhill courses that you described, Craig, of primary refractoriness? Anything about their disease that you can see that might explain that?
Well, first, my biggest concern about patients with primary progressive disease is that they don't have Hodgkin lymphoma. I mean, sooner or later, the diffuse large B-cell lymphoma is going to come out. And if you just look at that small cohort that you presented, the primary progressive Hodgkin lymphoma, and you repeat the biopsy, a good third at least have diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. So that's the first cut.
Hold
the
on,
second
before you
cut.
Go beyond first cut, that's very interesting. So how often do you think, you're talking about misdiagnosis?
I think that this is such an unusual, remember, it is a B-cell lymphoma. About 15% of Hodgkin lymphoma, the tumor will stain for CD20. The CD20 positive classical Hodgkin lymphoma then is in continuum with what we call gray zone lymphoma, which lives somewhere between Hodgkin lymphoma and non-Hodgkin lymphoma. There's a continuum going to primary mediastinal lymphoma, T-cell rich B-cell lymphoma, and diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. We're going to get more and more esoteric here, but there is no doubt that there's a cohort of patients with Hodgkin lymphoma that will transform to diffuse large B-cell lymphoma.
Transform.
That's well known in the literature.
But what about actually being misdiagnosed?
I think sometimes we just make the assumption that all that we see is Hodgkin lymphoma. In the original case that was presented, I'm actually surprised that your biopsy showed, with an 8-centimeter mass in the liver, pretty unusual for Hodgkin lymphoma, that that biopsy did not show diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. So,
what happens if you give diffuse large B-cell, a patient with diffuse large B-cell, ABVD? Do some of them get cured?
Well, that's an unfortunate choice.
No, I mean, obviously you wouldn't
Yeah.
do it deliberately, but do you expect that some people would be cured?
A minority. I think that what we've been doing historically for patients who CD20 positive classical Hodgkin lymphoma, we give R-ABVD. Rituximab and ABVD. That was published by Anas Younes years ago. There is also, if you really can't figure it out, you look at your pathology specimen and you say to yourself, boy, this sort of like is not classical Hodgkin lymphoma. I don't like what this area looks like. There's an old regimen that the CLGB did, which is now a standard regimen for T-cell lymphoma, which is CHOP with etoposide. That is a regimen that is equivalent to CHOP in large cell lymphoma, but a little bit more toxic, and is equivalent to ABVD, but a lot more toxic. So it never had a home in Hodgkin lymphoma. That was published years ago for Hodgkin lymphoma. So when I'm really unsure of an underlying diagnosis, I will give CHOP with etoposide. Some people will give escalated B-ACOP in that situation, which is definitely curative in diffuse large B-cell lymphoma.
John,
But
any
quite
comment?
toxic.
Yeah, so we've done very similar things to what Craig said. I think emphasizing we've done both, actually giving a CHOP type regimen or escalated BCOP in those cases. I think the danger certainly is, again, without quality pathology, the misdiagnosis scenario can happen. I don't think it's common, but I think it can certainly happen. I think the flip side, as Craig mentioned, there may just be two clones and you might be seeing two diseases playing out or a gray zone hybrid in between. And so it's those cases, unfortunately, that you still struggle with because they generally just don't do as well. Biologically, they appear to be different. And so this strategy is probably the best approach. There isn't a great data set to guide it, but I think we all generally operate the same way in that regard.
We've all seen this. All investigators have seen diffuse large B-cell lymphoma biopsies in patients with classical Hodgkin lymphoma.
I was just going to ask Craig, I saw again a picture in your slide deck. You visited the tombstone of Dr. Hodgkin? What's that story?
Yeah, so Thomas Hodgkin, of course, is, you know, was, of course, there's a lot of books about Thomas Hodgkin, but he was also a Quaker. And he was very friendly with Montefiore, who, this is back in the 19th century, who used to support some of his research. And Thomas Hodgkin went to some of the Bedouin areas outside of Tel Aviv to try to preach the Quaker religion and died in Israel.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so this is a crazy thing. If you go to Israel,
you guys should go. The tombstone was in Israel?
It's in Israel, yeah. So it's like a mythical place for lymphoma people to go and visit. So in fact, it is in, you know, Ilya Dan, who is a physician in Haifa, is like a world expert on Thomas Hodgkin. So he's a friend of mine, so I asked him to take me to the grave, and you go through kind of this little area, and then it looks like there's a row of houses, and then like you knock on somebody's door, and then like these people came out and said, oh, more doctors who want to see Thomas Hodgkin's grave. And in the back is an old cemetery, and then there's an obelisk back there, which has his grave. And it was in very bad condition, and a number of us got together and donated money and fixed up the grave.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, so it's a nice experience to go. I felt it very heartwarming.